We're continuing in our study of the Chovot HaLevavot, the Sha'ar HaBitachon. We're still in the Peticha, in the introduction, highlighting the words of Rabbi Waxman. We said last week that it's impossible for a person to be worry-free unless he is a Boteach BaHashem. There's no other way to achieve it. Someone who believes in his own strengths and trusts in other people is bound for a life of Arur HaGever Asher Yiftach BaAdam. But somebody who puts his faith in Hashem, he is in the Pasuk of Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach BaHashem. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in God. So the first thing we have to do is check out our strategy for life and make sure we're headed in the right direction. Rabbi once went collecting to a very wealthy man in Manhattan, to a luxurious office, and he started taking out pictures of the new building, how good the students are doing, how difficult it is to carry the budget, and he's going on, and all of a sudden, somebody walks in and sits down at the desk. The rabbi asks, "Who is that?" The man says, "Oh, that's the boss. He says, "Who are you?" He says, "Oh, I'm also here collecting." He says, "What? I'm making my whole sales pitch to another collector? I'm wasting my time?" The guy was obviously well-dressed. But he's talking to the wrong person. Rabbi said that in essence, even the main boss of that company is also, so to speak, a collector. Because we're all collecting from the big boss, the main boss is Hashem. And when we come to ask somebody for a favor, we have to realize first we have to ask Hashem and realize that this man is a messenger of God. And some people will say, "Come on, people are nothing. We don't do anything, it's all Hashem." Yeah, but we're intelligent, we're educated, talented, we're accomplished. All of this has nothing to do with my success. So how smart are we really in the great scheme of things? Let's take a very small part of creation, something so tiny that no one has ever seen before, a human cell. We're just going to go back for a second to biology class in ninth grade, and you'll bear with me for a minute till we bring out the point. But it says that the nucleus of every human cell, there is a gene set, which in it is encoded everything that's needed for how the body operates. All the information for construction, for maintenance, and function of human cells. These are called DNA molecules. And they have protein support molecules. Each DNA molecule is an immensely long sequence of chemical subunits and has in it about 6 billion nucleotides. What does all this mean? If you would want to write down all the information that is in the nucleus of one cell, it would fill 3,000 books, each book 1,000 pages long. That's the chokhmah in one tiny cell. Let's go further. The support molecules of all these are proteins. These are linear strings of amino acids. The scientists have discovered that there is something called protein folding that's happening in our bodies. What is protein folding? It's that these strings of acids have to fold in a particular way, optimally, on the right spot, in order to work. And if they don't work properly, the results are disaster, and the cells cannot function properly. The question is, how complex are the mathematical equations that create an optimal protein fold? We have supercomputers today that can make a trillion calculations in 1 second. If you would want to duplicate the mathematical complexity of an optimum protein fold on one of these computers, you would have to take this computer, which makes a trillion calculations per second, and leave it on for 24 hours straight, and let it continue calculating, not for a day, Not for a year, 10 years, or even 100 years, or even a billion years. But for 10 to the 127th power years, and 10 to the 11th power is already a trillion, that's how long the computer has to stay on to duplicate the complexities within one protein fold, which there's no number for. We could be, there's not enough paper in the world to write down this number. And a living organism created by Hashem could do all of this in 1 second. That's the greatness, the awesomeness of Hashem. We can't comprehend the chokhmah, the greatness, the vastness of Hashem. And for a person to believe that he has any say in the world when there's a chokhmah out there, when there's a power out there of Hashem that's Ein Sof, we can never understand. So if we think that where our efforts and our toil is really what's producing, we're mistaken, because of course we have to put in our efforts. Of course Hashem wants that from us. He wants us to put in our efforts and try. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that it's Hashem that's controlling. We cannot give ourselves the credit and say, I did it. Hashem is the one controlling. If I try, and I succeed, I believe that Hashem is the one who made me succeed. But a person can make a tragic mistake and believe that he's actually doing, and when I go to somebody, he's actually helping, and Hashem is not involved. And that's a tragic mistake, because it can lead to a life of worry. Everybody has worries. Some are worried about making money. Some are worried about getting married. Some are worried about health. Some are worried about raising their children. Some have important worries, and some not so important. All the worry in this room is all wasted energy. And it's all going down the drain. It's human potential being sucked out for nothing. Because worry does not affect a thing. It's only Hashem that controls, and all of this emotion could be used for something more beneficial. Imagine someone comes to your house to do an energy efficiency test. And you think you have good heating. And they show you a crack in the wall and a crack in the window, and 90% of your energy is going to waste. This is what worry is all about. Imagine a prisoner bound in chains and fighting and kicking, trying to get out, and right in front of him is the key to unlock himself and get out of slavery. The way we look at the world as nature and not looking deeper has enslaved us and made us beholden to people, to honor, to image, to money, to compliments. There is a key that can transcend all of this and take us out. And this key is called Bitachon. So the Chavot El Avot continues, and he says that if we're not trusting in Hashem, we're automatically trusting in something else. Everyone has trust in something. You can't... We're born to have faith in something. People, what is the number one thing that people put their trust in? Has to be money. People find their tranquility and their peace of mind in their money. Now, there are two different types of money. One type of money is called what we need for daily living. Al parnasa, what a guy needs to put food on the table, he needs to pay his bills. Says the Chavot HaLevavot that this money is guaranteed. Unless there was a decree in Shamayim that year for the person to die of starvation, he is guaranteed Hashem will take care of him this year. Hashem will give you enough food, you have nothing to worry about. Imagine you have guys making a wedding, he's preparing for 3 months, all the food, and Hashem is preparing food 3 times a day for trillions and trillions of people and animals and ants. And like we said, they did a study in the zoo, and they found how much does it cost to feed an elephant for 1 year. And they said the $40,000 a year to feed an elephant for 1 year. Who is feeding, who is paying for all the food of the elephants running the wilds of Africa? That's Hashem. Hashem is taking care of them. So Hashem says, I guarantee, Poteach et yadecha masbi'a lecholchad. So I guarantee you'll be taken care of. Don't worry. Sometimes you're right. A guy might have to take, the way he makes his money, he has to take a card maybe from the food fund. Okay, that might be his way. That's how Hashem wants him to get his money. But don't worry, you'll definitely eat. Then there's a second type of money. This is the money that people depend on for security. The money that we just want to see in the bank. The money that we have so we don't have to worry about money. So I know it's there. This is the money that he calls is a mashkon. A person needs a security from Hashem. As if to say, I'm not sure about what's going to be down the line. I just, as long as I have that money there, I'm okay. And it's really false, because as we're seeing right in front of our eyes, the money can't guarantee you anything. People are losing money. We're losing money left and right. The money is called in Hebrew, in Aramaic, they call in the Gemara, money is a zuz. Zuz means to move. It moves from hand to hand, from pocket to pocket. Nothing is guaranteed in the money. So a person who's putting his faith in his money, it's not guaranteed. When the Brisker Rav got married, he got a lot of money from his wedding, and he invested it poorly, and he lost all his money. He was walking around, and people saw him in the street, and he looked happy. So they said, Rabbi, you know, you just lost all your money. What are you so happy about? And the rabbi said, what's the difference between me and a wealthy man? He said, parnasah for today, or money for today? I already know, it's guaranteed. It says in the books, Hashem's I'm guaranteed going to eat. I'm not worried about today. And money for the future? Hashem guaranteed also, whenever I need, Hashem's going to take care of me. The wealthy man has his money to rely on. I have bitachon, so I'm better than the wealthy man because I know mine is guaranteed, his is not. If you have the result of what money is supposed to provide, that's what bitachon gives you, better than what money is going to provide you. I wanted to test myself. I wanted to see what level I'm holding in bitachon. I said, because the rabbis are telling me that if you feel more secure in Hashem than in money, that means you have real bitachon. So I said, imagining that I just won the $200 million lottery. I said, what would I feel like now after I won the lottery? So I was thinking about it. And I was feeling a little less tense. I'm like, wow, I know, I don't have to worry about this, worry about that. I said, oh, I'm not there yet. Because if a guy truly relies on Hashem and he has complete faith in Hashem, he should feel more at ease than a guy who just won the $200 million lottery. That's this feeling that we're supposed to get from Bitachon. There was a Jew who worked many years, and he amassed a fortune, and he wanted to settle down, retire, and invest his money. So he invested his money with a certain broker, and he set himself up, you know, to make a little. And he had money invested just in case. So the guy he invested with was a crook. He lost all his money, and he didn't want to tell him. He was playing with him for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, we're investing here. We're doing this with your money. We're doing that with your money. Yeah. And finally, after 3 years, the guy couldn't take it anymore. He told him, I'm sorry, your whole life fortune, I lost it. I'm sorry. And the guy went on, he's telling people, he said, why do you have to tell me? Why do you have to tell me? If he never told me, I probably never would have touched the money anyway. I would have went on, lived the rest of my life happily. Because all he wanted was that feeling that I have the money in the bank, that the money is going to take care of. But Bitachon could provide that same feeling, if not better. We think that money and possessions will bring us tranquility. That's what we're taught. And the Chazal tell us exactly the opposite. The rabbis tell us, marbe nechasim, marbe de'aga. The more money, the more possessions you have, the more worry you're going to have. So it was hard for me to understand that. Because, what do you mean? The more I have, the more I feel, you probably be more secure, no? Until I experienced an experience that where I saw this Mishnah to be very true. When I first got married, I bought a new car. We leased a new car, and And it was one of the Acura models. And you know, I liked the car. I was driving around. It was a nice car. And I went to sleep one night. Left the car on the street. I woke up the next morning. I get up to go in the car, and the headlights are gone. I said, "Achilak, the headlights. Who's stealing headlights?" And I said, "All right. Headlights. What's the big deal? I'll go to the store. I'll get two more headlights. It'll be a couple $100." So I go to the dealer. The new headlights. The guy tells me, each headlight's $2,000 plus damage, $5,000. What, $5,000 for headlights? Okay, Baruch Hashem, I had insurance. The insurance paid. I said, all right, it must have been a fluke. A week later, I fixed the car. A week later, I wake up the next morning again, the headlights are gone. I said, oh my gosh, again I have to do this. So I go again, put the new headlights, another $5,000. My insurance is going up. Now I get scared. What am I going to do? I can't go to sleep at night. I'm so worried. The next one, I have no headlights. I have to go find a driveway. I'm renting a driveway. I park down the block, walk home. And even in the driveway, I was terrified because you could see the car. They'll see the back of the car. They'll go inside. It was a time where we had the terrorist attack and everyone was all American. So I bought this big American flag and I draped it over the whole car. So people wouldn't see the car. But every night I'm going to sleep with worry. Is my headlights going to be there? No, I got so scared I couldn't tell. I had to rent a driveway with a garage. I'm paying $300 a month to rent a driveway with a garage. I couldn't wait to get rid of the car. It was so much worry. Finally, the lease is up. My brother-in-law tells me he's throwing out his grandmother's inheritance, his jalopy, his 72 Oldsmobile. He's throwing it away. I said, I want it. Give me the Oldsmobile. I took the Oldsmobile. It drove. I parked it on the street at night. Oh, it was fun to sleep. Worry-free. I know, guaranteed, it's going to be there tomorrow. Then one day I was driving. I was driving here to the shul. And I was making a left turn from Ocean Parkway. I was making a left turn into the service lane over here. And this guy blew the red light. And he slammed right into me. Baruch Hashem, I was okay. We pull over to the side. I get out of the car. The guy comes in. He's so scared. I'm sorry, please. I'm sorry. I look at the car. I said, don't worry about it. The car's anyway. Who cares? The guy's, what? You don't care? No, please don't tell the insurance. Nah, I don't care. Worry free, because who cares? Anyway, the car's a piece of junk. The guy was floored. He couldn't believe it. But it's not always the more you have, the more worry free you are. No, it's the opposite. The less I had, the more worry free I was. I also feel bad. I feel a lot of times I want my kids to have the most. I want my kids, you know, I feel bad. They're friends. They have this nice bike and this nice. I got to give my kids the best I got. And I see, I give them, I work hard to try to give them. And I see they're fighting over sometimes. I get them the newest bicycle, the newest this. And then they're not happy. No matter what I give them, the next day they play with it. 2 seconds later, they drop it. They go on to the next thing. I was standing by a house one time. I was waiting for someone to come out. They were bringing something out to the car. And I'm waiting in front of their house. And I'm looking in the front yard. There's the father. There's a father there. He's tightening the screws on a bicycle. It was a very old bike. And I see in the yard, he has five kids there watching him tighten the screws on a very old bike. He's finished tightening the screws. The first kid takes the bike, rides down the block, comes back. I see all the other kids sitting there in line watching him. He rides the bike, comes back 2-3 times, gives the bike over to the next kid. The same thing. But all the kids are sitting there nicely in the corner watching. I said, wow, I can't believe they only have one bike and they're all with such beautiful midot. And it's not that the more you have, the more the happier you're going to be. It's not true. And we're killing ourselves because we think we need to give them the most and I have to have the best of this and the best of that. That's not true happiness. Sometimes money could cause big machlokets. Sometimes families are broken up over money. Sometimes people, chas v'shalom, will do, lo aleinu, dishonest things for money. All this extra effort because I need to have that security in the bank. People are ready to sell their souls. They're ready to sell their souls for money, for this security blanket. We can't imagine how in the Tanakh, we look in the Tanakh and we see that there were people so religious and they were keeping Shabbat and they were keeping Kashrut and yet every other day, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. What's with these people? How come they're doing Abodah Zarah and they're so religious but they're committing Abodah Zarah? And it could be the explanation is because they thought that the Abodah Zarah was looking after them. It's my security. I can't live without it. And we're seeing the same thing today. A guy could be so religious. He could be Shomer Shabbat, this. But in the business world, he's a tycoon. What happened? It's my security. I need it. I can't live without it. That's what people feel. Imagine being a person who's free from this bondage of money. That's so money hungry all the time. Such a person is a king in today's society. He's a free man. That's the Baal Bitachon. He's not constantly worrying about money and killing himself. As the Brisker Rav said, my father is Hashem. He's a billionaire. When I need it, he'll be there. And the Chovot HaLevavot has such a beautiful description of this person. Lo do'eg ve'lo mitzta'er. He's not upset when he loses his money. He realizes that Hashem is doing what's good for him. He understands his money is just a pikadon from Hashem. He's happy with his lot. He's not looking to see how other people lose their money. This is a free man. His moods don't swing with the stock market. He's always happy. And if a person doesn't have bitachon, he could fail his tests with money. There are a lot of wealthy people out there who have a problem giving charity. And they have a difficulty separating with their money. And not only does it bring them shame, but they hate themselves for it. They don't want to do it. They want to be able to give. But they're just so scared of not being secure. I need that security. Says Rav Sadok. He says this problem stems from one area. It's a lack of bitachon. Hashem said, Aser b'shvil shetit asher. He said, Bachanuni nabazot. Test me with this. Give the charity. You will not lose. Don't worry. You're not going to lose out in the end. He says, even if a person is cheap by nature, if you work on your bitachon, you'll have an easy time giving. But a person can live his whole life blind. Imagine the people who were born and they died under the communist government of Russia. They lived their whole life. They never saw true life. If a person misses this nikudah in life, he doesn't have bitachon, he's living his life in a dungeon. The Gaon writes, everything we know comes from Hashem. I get sick, everything comes from Hashem. Except for one thing, there's one punishment Hashem will never give a person. He says, that's called sadness, atzvut. Hashem will never make a person. Sadness and depression is the worst thing for a person. And Hashem hates it. He says, any test that I give you, I'm hoping that you overcome it with simcha. I want you to have joy. It's only a person who lives without emunah and bitachon that brings the sadness upon him. The thing that we are worried the most from, a person doesn't want to be depressed, he doesn't want to be down. The thing that we're scared from the most, we do it to ourselves. It's all in our own minds. And then the Chovot HaLevavot brings another important benefit of bitachon. A major, major, major point. It says, imagine someone would tell you, I could arrange for you to be the best friend of the richest, most powerful man in the world. We would all jump at the opportunity. Now why? Why would we want to be friends with the most powerful, richest man in the world? Because we think that we could gain something from him. Whether it be, maybe he'll give me some money, maybe just being connected with him, I'll get honor. We think we're going to gain from him. But says the Chovot HaLevavot, if a person understands that he cannot gain one thing from a person unless it was nigzar from Hashem first, he'll stop being a slave to people. That guy cannot give you a dollar unless Hashem decreed you should have that dollar. And if you're supposed to get the dollar, you'll get it from somewhere else. You don't need him. He says one of the 10 basic requirements for a person to do his minimal service in Avodat Hashem is if someone does you a favor, to realize that the favor did not come from him, it came from Hashem. Of course, you have to have Hakarat HaTov. Someone does you something good, you tell him thank you, you're very appreciative to him. But you have to know that if he didn't use his free will to give it to you, somebody else would have given it to you. We have to realize it's not people who help you or people who harm you. There was a story of a guy. He was an orphan at a young age, and he helped raise his family. He had three brothers, and the man was the first one to get married. He had to marry himself off, and he bought a house, settled down. It was time for his next brother to get married. How was he going to pay for it? He sold his house and he downgraded to pay for the wedding. The next brother had to get married. He did the same thing. He downgraded again and paid for the next wedding. He did it three for all the brothers. Finally, the last brother had to get married. He couldn't do it anymore. He had to borrow money. He went into debt, the guy. And he was in big debt. So he came to America to collect. And he was here. And he went around collecting. He didn't do so well. It was on the last day. He was going back to Israel. I think he needed $30,000 or something, and he had maybe $2,000-$3,000. It was the last day. And a rabbi told a very wealthy man about him, and the wealthy man was so impressed with his sacrifice, he said, "I'm going to help him." And he said, "I'm going to give him a big check," and he got called up two or three of his friends. And that day, they got all the money of him. The next morning, they present them on the way back. The rabbi is leaving for Israel that day. They gave it to him in the morning, gave him a check for the full amount that he needed, whatever it was, $30,000. When they handed the rabbi the check, or this man, if he was a rabbi, I'm not sure. And they said the man immediately, right when he got the check, he went like this, "Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo." Saying with Hashem's name, "Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo." Hodu la, she said it three times. And then he went and he thanked them. "Thank you very much." The first response, this is directly from Hashem. That's how our responses have to be. But we put all our energy, we try to be well connected, to know the right people. It's all wasted energy. The right people cannot help you. Now, the Chovot Levavot talks about this guy, this man called the alchemist. They believed that he was able to produce gold from metal. He could take raw metals and turn them into gold. And the Chovot HaLevavot says 10 ways how the Baal Bitachon is better off than this guy who is producing his own money. We're not going to say them all, but just a couple of them. He said this guy needs raw materials. The Baal Bitachon can get his money without any raw materials. He can have a guy come on the street, say, "Wow, I have a great idea for you." Boom. 1 second he can make all his money. It says the alchemist needs a lot of hard work, sits him down, he has to, I don't know how he produces this stuff. The Baal Bitachon goes to work, puts in a normal day's effort, nothing more. I don't need to do any more than that. The alchemist is afraid what's going to be down the line if he's not able to produce it anymore. Maybe someone will steal his fortune. The Baal Bitachon is never scared of the future. And he says, and this guy is scared that somebody will rat on him. Maybe the government will find out his secret. The Baal Bitachon, he says, opposite. People are afraid of him. The people fear the Baal Bitachon. How much fear do we have in our lives? We're all scared of somebody. Some of us are scared of the IRS. Some are scared of our boss. Some are scared of the judge we have to face. We're busy fearing people all the time. And Chovot HaLevavot says, not only does the Baal Bitachon not fear anybody, but Bnei Adam HaChashuvim VeHaNichbadim, great and honored people, fear him. Even the rocks on the floor want to please the Baal Bitachon. He walks around fearless and people fear him. People walk around saying, "This guy did this to me, this guy wronged me, who does he think he is? This guy did nothing to you. This guy couldn't have touched you if it wasn't for Hashem." If we look at a person, at people in the world, everybody, and we realize that they have no control over our lives, we won't fear them anymore. Of course, there's a chiyuv of hishtadlut. Like we said, you can't go and tell off your boss tomorrow, "You know what I think of you?" No, you can't do that, because that's not hishtadlut. You have to treat everybody with respect. But the key is, don't be afraid. It says in the Torah, "Lo taguru mipnei ish." Don't fear any man. The Gaon writes in Mishle, he says, someone who lives with fear all the time, he's scared of this person, scared of that person, his life is not a life. And lo aleinu, he could die young from all this fear. A person with bitachon doesn't have to be a flatterer, always trying to find grace in people's eyes. You don't have to hope and depend on people. We read every morning, Al tiftechu bin divim beben adam she'en lo teshuah. Don't put your faith in man, they can't help you anyway. We'll be free from this addiction of approval seeking, which so many people suffer from. People are always so worried about what everybody else thinks of them. The Baal Bitachon, he doesn't have to agree to what everybody says. Sometimes a guy will make a statement, he'll say something that's not so kosher, and we're scared, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. No, the Baal Bitachon has courage. No, you're wrong. What do you have to scare? Nothing to be scared of. Someone tells you to do something dishonest. Guy's boss, he tells him, I want you to do something dishonest. No, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. There was one time a person who was a very influential man asked me to do something I wasn't so comfortable with. But I was scared. I don't know. This guy's a big man. I don't want to let him down. So I did it. But I wasn't comfortable with it. If I had bitachon, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Next. I please Hashem. I don't please people. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes unbelievable thing on the pasuk, Cherdat Adam Yiten Mokesh. He says, the fear that we have of people causes the other side to have more strength. He says, if in the zichut that you don't fear people and you fear Hashem, Hashem will save you from something that was supposed to come upon you as a reward for not fearing Him but fearing Me instead, says Hashem. Even if the sara was supposed to come upon the person, but he says, I don't fear Him, I fear You, Hashem says, I'll save you. If you become a Baal Bitachon, we could start becoming bigger people. Someone who has principles. In order for that to happen, you need bitachon, or else you're beholden to people all the time. You can't stand up for anything you believe in. When one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's was arrested by the secret police, they were taking him away, and they had a gun to his head. And the rabbi told him, he said, that little toy could only frighten someone who has one world and many gods. Says, but I have two worlds and one Hashem. Put it away, you don't scare me. This was the greatness of all the great rabbis. Hashem li lo ira. I don't fear people. When Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan first became a rabbi in a town, he was a young man. It was his first day on the job. And a poor man came to him to complain. He said that one of the president of the shul wronged him and he cheated him. And he took some of my money. So the rabbi summoned the president of the shul to the Beit Din on his first day. So the president of the shul sends him back. He says, it's your first day on the job. Let me warn you. You don't subpoena the president of the shul to Beit Din. I'm just warning you. The rabbi sends back. He says, you better come to Beit Din immediately. You have a court day tomorrow. The guy sends him back and he says, listen buddy, I hired and fired people, many like you. You better watch your step. The rabbi sent him back. If you don't come tomorrow, I'm putting you in cherem. They come into the office 5 minutes later with some wine and cake. He said, Chazak Baruch, rabbi, you got the job. We were testing you. We wanted to see if you're going to stand up to the challenges or you're going to be a weakling and you're going to say, oh, I'm scared of people. There was a rabbi, he used to have a stick hanging in his office. So one of the members of the shul went to his rabbi, what's that stick doing in the office? So the rabbi said, this is my walking stick. If you ever threaten me with my job, I take it and I walk. That's the rabbi. My parnasa doesn't come from you. My parnasa comes from Hashem. Try it. Try not being afraid of people. Try being afraid of Hashem. Of course, we have to have kavod for people, because that's the Ratzon of Hashem. We have to fear, what does Hashem want from me? When the Brisker Rav, he was living in Warsaw at the time of the Second World War, and there were bombs falling, and there were different opinions on where the safest place to be was. There were some people saying we should be on the top of the building, Some people were saying we should be in the basement. And there was back and forth. So someone saw the Brisker Rav on the top floor. And they said, Rabbi, what are you so calm about? Rabbi's walking peaceful, he's learning. He said, what are you so calm about? We're all nervous, where should we go? The Rabbi said, I worked it out, al pi halacha, ushmartem me'or nafshotechem. He said, there's no better place, either place is sufficient to protect your life. Once I know I did my job, the rest is in Hashem's hands. It's not my business anymore. So therefore I'm calm. I have to know, am I following what Hashem wants or not? The rest is not my job. So we have to say, am I treating this person right? Am I treating my employees with respect? Am I giving them honor? That's my question. Other than that, it's not your business. And the ultimate benefit of the Baal Bitachon, says the Chovot HaLevavot, is that he's happy with everything Hashem gives him. Even if it's against your nature. Because you know that Hashem is always doing what's best for you. And if you know why he's doing it, you wouldn't want it any other way. And like we said last week, the more you believe in Hashem, the more He'll show you. The Gaon writes an unbelievable thing. He says, we know when a child is young, naturally, his faith is at a very high level. Tells him, yeah, Hashem does it, Hashem does that. He says, and you see by children, the Hashkacha of Hashem is very high. Hashkacha beratid on children. He says, but once we get older and we start believing in ourselves more, then starts leaving a little bit. It's the amount you put in is the amount you're going to get back. Chazal tell us, a person should always have these words in his mouth. Ashrei Adam Boteach Bach. Fortunate is the man who trusts in God. Because when you're free from worry, you could start concentrating on more important things in life. Stop worrying about things that doesn't help anyway. When a person is faced with a test in Bitachon, and he's in a matzah where he's in trouble, he has to remember, this could be midat hadin. It could be that Hashem is giving you a certain test right now. And if a person overcomes and he realizes that it's from Hashem, at that moment, Hashem says, okay, I'll break the decree. Like Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, he was maftiach, he made a promise. Whenever somebody is in a troubled state, and he's scared of being harmed, and at that moment he says, En od milivado, there's no one else except Hashem. No one could do anything to me except Hashem. En od milivado, he says, God promises that you will not be harmed. You will not be harmed if you trust in Him at that time. There was a rabbi from Deal. He once said the rabbi, he was pulled over to the side of the road, and there was a cop coming. A cop pulled him over, and the rabbi kept saying, "So I was saying it, en ol milavado, en ol milavado, en milavado." So the cop let me off. Says that, but it's real. En ol milavado. If you really believe it, en ol, you can't be harmed. Sometimes we're faced with difficulties, with worries. We can't sleep at night. What's going to happen tomorrow? If you say, it's all from Hashem, it's okay, I know Hashem, you're doing it for me, for my best. At that moment, you broke the kilipah, and the sefarim say, you don't need the problem anymore. That was the test. Hashem gave it to you just so you say, it's from me, and that's it, finished. You don't need it anymore. Rabbi writes, unbelievable thing, he says, if you're in a difficult situation and you say that it's from Hashem, he said the spiritual elevation that you get from that is equal to 300 fasts. 300 fast days by saying, Hashem, I know it's from you. It's okay. I'm not going to worry about it. So Bezrat Hashem will strengthen our bitachon. Next week we're going to start talking about how to acquire bitachon. But now we see why we need it. It's so important for life. These are the benefits of a Baal Bitachon. Without Bitachon, like we said, we're living in a dungeon. If a person is Mechazek and he has Bitachon, will be Zocheh to the Pasuk of the Ten Sachar Tov Lechol Abotechim and Va'ani Bechastecha Batachti Yagel Ebi B'Shuatecha.